Thanks, Greg. Yes, I have caught up with Lila Josefowitz. Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you so much.
Is it kind of like coming home? You were at Curtis here for a while.
I was, from 91 to 97. I grew up in California before and then had major culture shock coming to the East Coast and here and starting a whole new world at the Curtis Institute, which was really, really incredible for me. It's a big chapter in my life here. And it's been fun walking the streets again and remembering all of those years here.
Was there a time when you knew that you wanted to do this professionally? I mean, you had extraordinary aptitude and you were performing as a child.
There was never sort of this one point where I thought, that's it. I was getting mentally prepped by my father and my teachers that this was kind of the path. And that created complications for me, as you can imagine later on, because it all sort of happened in a sense before I had time to really process it as a young woman, which I think it's a very, very complex thing to deal with, having been in a prodigy situation. So my way really of dealing with this was in my very late teens, early 20s, saying, I'm doing what I want now. I'm not doing what everyone else wants. I'm doing what I want and I'm doing it my way. And my way turned out to be doing the repertoire that really speaks to me, which is 21st century repertoire. When I was 20, I met John, and we became really fantastic friends ever since then. So, you know, over 20 years. He was one of the very, very central figures in me figuring out my voice with the instrument and basically the general shape of my career.
So what were the circumstances of meeting John Adams?
He was conducting in New York, and he knew about me, and he knew that I think in the next year I was going to be playing his violin concerto in Seattle, Seattle Symphony, for the first time. And this was very exciting to me and to him, and he planned to come to that, which he did. Yeah, it was very exciting to have John at the performance. And even more mind-blowing for me was, I would say, less than 2 or 3 weeks after that set of performances that he attended for the first time, we were lined up to perform this in many, many cities around the world with him conducting. So because he conducts, he chose me to jump around with him. So this was so inspiring for me to ask a question. Do you want this? Do you want that? How do you feel about this section? Just these sorts of things I had never been able to do, and made me all the more sure that this was sort of the path I wanted to be going on.
So it's working with contemporary music, but also working with composers who are writing it.
Exactly. And Oliver Nussin, the great Oliver Nussin, was one of my very, very close and dear people in my life, very much inspirational, like John. And just to work with creators, this was really the thing that I realized I had been sort of so starving for, and then finally getting fulfilled by this. So
let's talk about this piece, Scheherazade Point Two. What does this mean to you? I understand that John Adams was motivated by his desire to write a dramatic piece for you, as well as an experience going to an exhibition in Paris about 1001 Nights.
Well, yes, and the general kind of feeling of the 1001 Nights story, it's sort of covered in this shimmering veil of fantasy, when in fact the brutal truth of it is that women were killed daily after spending one night with this prince. And that's just, if that isn't brutality, I don't know what is. And he thought, what if I was to, what if I was to write a modern day Scheherazade story about an empowered woman that fights, has the courage to stand up and fight against these sort of evil religious, you know, male zealots. So this became my role, and he knows me. He knows I don't back down easy if I believe in what I believe in, and got strength in my own, whether I like it or not. I got some courage in me, got some feisty stuff in me. So, you know, he knew that this was going to be a good character portrait for me to kind of almost get into a, well, not almost, but really to get into a role and have it be sort of a very special thing. There's not been another violin concerto in which really the violinist takes on a character portrait, a real actual role with sound, which is what this is. And it's been a really transformative but very strengthening experience for me in the last few years playing this. It really is about internal courage, strength, and vulnerability, and being in danger and fighting, standing up and having a fight in for what you believe. And it's been great.
Well, you mentioned that this has been transformational for you, and you've played it with, you premiered with the New York Philharmonic, and then you've also recorded it with the St. Louis Symphony, and now you're back playing it with the composer, with the Philadelphia Orchestra. How do all those factors change the experience?
Well, I mean, the the world premiere was the birth, and that was certainly incredibly suspenseful. I'm glad it went well, but the real life of the piece really kind of started after that. Many, many performances per year. It's been definitely over 50 times. And to bring it here with John is a really special thing to happen here in Philadelphia for people who care about 21st century music. This is a big deal. John is a huge cultural figure. He's a force. He's written this amazing behemoth work. And I'm excited to be back in my old hometown with many of the orchestra players I know from school. So it's really kind of a very special event.
Thank you so much, Lila Josefowicz.
You are welcome. Thank you.